Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, your friendly host with the God is a Geek hat on. I found it. Someone mentioned it recently and I found it again, literally 10 minutes before we started doing this podcast recording. And before I even introduce who else is on this podcast with me, if you want stuff like this, if you think you'd like some merch or you just want to get involved with us, like go to our Discord where our community lives and we're all happy and nice and talking about games and convincing Lyle that Breath of the Wild is actually a very good video game, unlike what he thinks. In fact, more of you just come to tell him he's wrong. That's patreon.com/godisageek. And we will make these. This is a prototype. We will make these if you like them. Promotion over. Well, it's not. Maybe we'll do 10% off. Who knows? We could do that sort of thing. Adam Carroll, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I am happy to be here today. Quite hot, quite really? Humid in Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the weather's insane right now. It's just like lashing and then it's like super hot.
Oh, I'm with you on that respect.
Having a bit of a moment.
Yeah, no, I get
you. Yeah. But yeah, I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And joining us as to make this a three-piece, Mrs. Christopher Hyde. All right, Chris, how are you doing?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I'm up for some games. It's not as hot here.
I don't think I asked how you were, but it's fine. How are you?
Oh, okay.
It's fine. I just don't think I asked, but please, how are you, Chris?
You caring about my well-being, I thought was just implied. It's one of those things that doesn't need so.
I always care about your well-being, Chris.
Yeah, but you got the wrong Adam, you see. No. He's,
That's the thing. Yeah.
No, listen, everyone's here. Well, they're not, because there are other Chris isn't here, Mick isn't here, but yeah, you three, we're here. We are here.
We're here to do a podcast.
So I suppose we should do one in that respect. To remind people, it's a shame because if you're not watching live or archived, if you're just listening, you won't see the amazing hat I'm wearing. I'm wearing a different hat in another video, actually.
You've been wearing some amazing hats recently.
Yeah, but that's just a teaser because there's something coming up, a little series that we're working on, Mr. Hyde and myself. Damn it! Could we rename it somehow? Like, is there any way that I can get some sort of portmanteau or make Adam Cook sound like Jekyll so we could say Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Is there any way that can work? Is there any way that can work?
Jekook? I don't know, mate.
Oh no, that sounds awesome.
I don't think this is the time to be thinking of that right now, but no. I can see. I think we should leave that up to the viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in that respect, you're quite right, Adam, because we are here to talk about some video games. I needed photoshopping. What's the phrase? You know, when you throw it all at the board and it sticks? I don't know.
Brainstorming.
Clearly my brain is not storming at the moment. And Christopher Hyde, tell us about what you have been playing this week.
So I have been playing more of Death's Door. So we talked about this a week or so ago, I can't remember. Playing more of Death's Door, and I have almost finished it. So last night I got to the final boss, haven't quite beat it, had a couple of goes and then stopped, so I'll hopefully finish it tonight. But I'm very, very close to the end of this game. So I did want to spend some time talking about it, because the last time I spoke about it, I'd only played like a hour or two. So I've got a feel for it, but hadn't seen a lot of what it's got to offer. And I do know that it's got a post-credit content to it as well. So it's not quite finished after the final boss. But I did just want to spend a few minutes talking about it, because I really, really have enjoyed what I've been playing of this game. I know we spoke before, last time on the pod, about it and how it's one of those games that's... It is a bit difficult. Like, you will die a few times, but it's very fair and balanced, and it's not to the point where you're like, I can't beat this game. You know, we talked about Titan Souls before, about that being punishing, whereas this game is very much, it's very doable. A lot of the times when you die, and it makes a big deal when you die, the big death screen comes up and you feel like an idiot, but it's always because you've rushed something or you've not realized how to beat a certain enemy or a boss, and it just takes a bit of trial and error, but much less so than something like, you know, a Dark Souls or something like that. So I've really enjoyed my time with it. The level design is incredible, the way it really does a lot of shortcuts. You know, it's almost a bit sort of Bloodborne-y in the way it's got so many little shortcuts back on itself, and you're always unlocking different ways to come back, so you're never retracing your steps for very long, because the way it works is you go back to the last door you've come through, and in one area there's only ever one door, but because there's shortcuts, it's never very far to get back to where you were, because you've always unlocked some shortcuts to cut through the level that you've been going on. So You're never backtracking very long if you do die, and you will. But I thought that some of the way it did that was very clever, because it's different for different areas, the way it thinks about how to kind of join all the shortcuts together. And I really like the variety in the boss fights as well. Like, they feel, each one of them, there's not many. Like, this isn't a very long game. It's about 10 hours. But they feel very different, you know, in that sense, almost like Zelda-esque, which we'll come on to in a minute. In the sense, they feel like very varied bosses, you know, different experiences, and really enjoyable. And there's a bit of...
Sorry, I don't want to cut across you. We're just looking at Adam Carroll there, and I'm going to reveal something. Like, he told us before we went live that he hates everyone who plays this game, and wishes harm upon them all. Right, Ads?
That's exactly what I said. No, what I did say before we cut for not to cut you off, Chris, I said all I'm hearing about is Death's Door all week long, maybe even the week before that. And I don't know if it's a game that I'm personally that keen on at the moment.
Why would you say that? What's the case? Other than everyone's talking about
what it, is it?
What is it about it that you don't...
This sounds really... This is a poor comment. This is a poor thing to say.
Let me just press this button. Please go ahead.
I feel it's just, it just looks like this kind of game. I just don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at and going, I must play this. Because, you know, there's a lot of those top down things like Hades and all these kind of things. And I'm just a bit
Hang on. You just mentioned Hades. You just mentioned Hades.
Hades is like amazing.
But Hades is definitely faster, is it? It's definitely more frantic.
Hades is...
Death's Door is more like kind of...
So Hades is a bit faster.
A bit faster.
Hades has obviously better writing in the sense of the story that's interwoven into it.
They're different.
They are different. They are. What I was about to say before cut me off, and then Adam went on his ridiculous rant, is I was going to say, I do think it's very funny in places, Death's Door. It's nowhere near the cleverness of Hades.
No.
But it is funny in moments. There are times where I was laughing. There's references to some pop culture references that are very well done. And some, you know, some puns and stuff that make you chuckle. But yeah, that's what I don't get about what you're saying, Ads. Because like, you love Hades.
He would like this game.
You would like.
I know, this is the thing. I'm not saying that like I don't want to play it. I'm just not like bursting to play this game, because I'm just like the mechanics of what I'm hearing. They're not original in my head. And I'm not saying that's a problem.
That's fair, but I'm just not rushing for it right now.
That is fair, right?
It's just very well done, though. Like, everything
about
it.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Really, like, I'm just kind of like, because I'm trying to step back and clear a backlog of games as well. So I'm just like, Death's Door, I'll get to it sometime. I have to for Game of the Year and stuff, obviously. Who knows? I might end up in our Breath of the Wild thread in the Patreon if I play the bloody thing. So,
I'd be surprised. There's a lot left of this year, right? You know, obviously. Yeah. And also, there's...
100%.
Whereas probably 3 months ago, we would be talking about, there's not much left coming this year. All of a sudden, after whatever E3, whatever June was for games, and July is with EA, suddenly the end of this year from now on is... There's like, I would say every year we are approaching Madden being released, which is the klaxon, which is the cue for all games to run out the starting block and run towards our consoles. I'd be quite surprised if come December, when we're sat here and there's probably more people on the screen and we're chatting around, if this isn't certainly in the discussions.
It'd be discussed.
It's absolutely going to be discussed.
If it's going to be discussed and it's a 10-hour game, I think you know what we're saying. So, like, you need to play it.
You need to visit Argentina and drop €5 or pounds. I don't know how it works.
Apparently so. No, look, this looks like aesthetically it looks cool and stuff, but do you get what I mean?
I do get what you mean. I guess...
Like, I haven't played it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're prioritising over it.
I think
but
it's
I would
one
say...
of those games you need... It's one of those games you'll look at it and go, that looks decent. Okay, but it's only when you play it and you feel it that you realise, this is one of the... I'm trying to think, there was a game I played recently. I am absolutely falling short about naming it, but it was one where I thought, oh, it was Kenner. It was Kenner. It was Kenner where it's like, yep, looks beautiful, definitely up my street. If he doesn't play well, it's dead in the water. And yeah, then I played it, and it plays well. And Death's Door is similar to me in that it's got a gorgeous art style. It's a genre I like. It's not a roguelike. It's a story-based game.
Yeah.
It's Souls adjacent, I guess, if that's its own genre now. But it feels, like you said, Hades, Bastion, it feels cracking like those.
Can I just say that like, obviously it is what it is, but that is a part of it as well that I'm just not vibing.
I totally get
the Souls thing. I'm just like...
But I think the reason why that gets mentioned...
But fair kind of thing.
I think the reason why it gets mentioned is because you will die. Like, you will... But it's not like you'll sit there and go, I don't know how to do this, or this is ridiculous, or anything like that. You'll just make a mistake because some idiot will throw a grenade at you and it'll get your last bit of health.
I don't even think it's that hard from what I played. I haven't finished it yet either, but from what I played, I don't think it's difficult.
I wouldn't describe it as a really difficult game. I describe it as a game where you will die because you'll make mistakes when you first encounter things and you haven't figured out.
And it's your fault more so than anything.
And I die if I'm rushing something. Like if I go, I know how to beat this boss now or this big enemy, and then I rush it because I'm impatient, and then I die. That's more what it is than how are you supposed to do this? Like, I've one-shotted a couple of the bosses.
Yeah, I did
first
that as well.
Time because but some of the later ones as well, because you're like, I get what you want me to do, and it's fun and it's enjoyable. And I'm not saying I could just stand there and not take any hits. I had to move and stuff.
The boss battles remind me more of, I think it was called Fury, F-U-R-I.
Mm-hmm.
But then saying that, this is the developer that made Titan Souls, but they've added more of a game here now. Like, there's other enemies. It's not just a boss rush. Like, not saying it wasn't a game before. I'm just... It's just watching the footage as we were streaming this out. I'm like, oh god, I've got to get back to that real soon.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil anything, but the culmination of like the final bits that I've gone through have been very enjoyable.
Yeah, I need to get back on it.
So I don't want to spoil anything, and I haven't seen the post game, which apparently there's content there, so I don't really know what that's about because I'm literally at the final boss. But looking forward to finishing that, but very enjoyable, and I definitely will get. Disgust, I think. It depends what else comes out, but disgust at the end of the year because of what it is. Keeping with the theme, and I did kind of mention it a little bit earlier, I've just been kind of... This has been a week for me of just ploughing through stuff I've already started, and Adam Carroll will be pleased to hear... Mm-hmm. You're laughing at ploughing through. Adam Carroll will be pleased to hear. I've been playing more of Skyward Sword. So, I think...
Have you finished this?
No, because it's a big game, and I've been playing Death's Door. But I think, I can't remember, and this is, I guess, an indictment of how I felt the first time I played Skyward Sword. I think I'm further than I was, but I can't actually remember where I dropped off.
Okay.
And I will say, I don't have any feeling like I want to bounce off it. So that's a plus, but then I've never felt like that from a Zelda game other than Skyward Sword. So, you know, there's a weird benchmark there. But I am finding it much more enjoyable not using the motion controls for everything. Like I won't obviously spoil stuff that you get later on, but I'm finding that much more enjoyable. The camera's not even an issue anymore. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, you know. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And some of the bits I've had to do, there's bits where you're like, oh, you know, it still does that padding that I talked about, although it's less faffy than the original, I know. But I still think there's some unnecessary backtracking and padding that it does in the game. But I have been enjoying some of the dungeon design and how it uses the items are very clever. And, you know, it's what you said in your review, Adam, which is very spot on, about how much of this game you can clearly see in Breath of the Wild. Like some of the later dungeons... Very much, and Zelda's always been a bit like this, but some of the later dungeons are built around one idea. And like the whole kind of design of the dungeon is built around one central idea. And it uses it very well. And obviously, if you think about then the divine beasts in Breath of the Wild, they're literally one idea, you know, playing out, aren't they? That's how they work. So I thought that was really interesting, and obviously we talked about things like stamina bar and things like that as having influences as well. But you can really see where they've progressed their ideas and their thinking and how to implement them in Breath of the Wild, given that Skyward Sword was the 3D one before that. Mm. So I will finish this game. I'm pretty confident, unless it falls on its ass in the third act. I'm pretty confident.
If you've gotten this far, you're fine.
Yeah, I think I am. And I have no feelings like, oh, I just want this to be over. Like, I want to see what it's got, because when the Nintendo magic works, it works, right? And you know, especially with Zelda. So I do think I'll finish it. I think I'll enjoy it. Mm. I still don't believe it's going to trouble my top five Zeldas of all time, because there are still nagging things. You know, Fee, as much as she's been restrained, still states the bloody obvious far too often for me or whatever. But, you know, and the padding stuff. But it's still a really enjoyable game. I will finish it, and I'm sure I'll have things to say at the end of the year as well with this game, and where it places. But yeah, I will be finishing it, so you'll be pleased to know it won't be the only 3D Zelda I've never finished, because I'm pretty certain that I'll crack on to the end. And I obviously don't know what that's got in store for me, because like I say, I think I'm past the point I got to before, so a lot of this is new, which is quite nice, because I'm like, oh, I'm not just retracing old steps. Although
it's a new game for you and a lot of people, and it was for me as well.
Yeah, and I know, you know, bits of what's coming, because it does repeat. I don't want to spoil it. It does repeat certain things. Yeah, but I'm having fun with it. I'm finding it very interesting and enjoyable, like a Zelda game should be. So yeah, more positive comments maybe than the first time I played it. But I'm
glad to hear that, but like I think it's very funny that I still find Skyward Sword to be the game that like people, not necessarily, you know, Chris, like, but there's still people holding on to that, like, nah, it's still like has all these issues and blah 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 blah, and yet it has so many great things about it. Like I think visually, especially now with this HD one, I think it looks phenomenal. I think like it does.
I was gonna just say that, like, that's the one thing that, you know, I reviewed it, but still, just watching footage back, I can't believe how lovely this game looks. When you hear people use the term, like, you know, a painterly world, like, I think this is the one for me. I can't get over that this is a 10-year-old game, because it looks so sharp and it looks beautiful. Like, it's so, I don't know.
I also find it kind of interesting that, like, I don't hear enough of, like, say, like Skyloft, right? I think Skyloft is actually like a great little town to go around, and I think everyone that you can talk to or meet is really charismatic and stuff. And it's just pretty funny, because like, if you take Ocarina of Time, for example, easily the most boring area in Ocarina of Time is Hyrule Field. There's fuck all happening in that field, and it's just super draggy going back and forth all around that field, but it never gets really said. But like, It's just a similar thing. Like, I just think Skyloft is a place that, like, it's underrated in terms of like the Zelda universe. Of it's a great little place. The buildings, going into every building is great, and all the music, and there's just loads of life happening in it. You know?
I don't disagree. I think the thing that gets me is that's literally it. And I think that's the only thing. Because if there were, then I'm not saying I want 12 floating islands with that much detail in them, because that would
there
be
there could
ridiculous.
Be more definitely
but I think there could be I know there's the pumpkin thing, right? I know, I'm well aware of that, but like, that's literally it. Other than that, and some dude doing a circus thing for rupees, there's nothing else going on, and it's and I think that for me is the when you say things like that, and it's terrible actually, because I think it affects my ability maybe to have a balanced view of it. But I go back to what I'm saying, because that thing it does disappoint me a little bit that sky world feels very empty, and
I respect your opinion, but I don't get that,
and that's cool. I think it's because I reflect back on things like Wind Waker, where these things are very similar but have been done better in terms of less sparseness, less emptiness. And like I say, I do think there's a little bit more. I feel less passionate about this point than I did 2 weeks ago about the padding, but I do still think it's there. You know, you have to go back here again, go back there again. But it's not. I mean, we're talking about Zelda game with a couple of cons is still a 9 out of 10.
Well, for sure, you know, definitely.
And that's the point here. Like, you find yourself talking about the cons of a Zelda game because everyone knows the pros, right? All of the pros that you expect in a Zelda game are present and correct. Like, let's not pretend this is a 6 out of 10. This is a solid. I mean, don't talk about Lyle about Breath of the Wild, but like, this is a solid game. This is a really good game.
Yeah, and that's
the really good Zelda game. It's just because people benchmark it against other Zelda games, and I can see why people think it's not as good as some other ones. I get it, and I get it. If it's your favorite, perfect. That's great. You know, we all thought the same, it'd be boring, but like, I'm enjoying 100%. It, and I will finish it.
There's just two things I just want to say there. Is like, one, I going through this playthrough again. Like I said it before, but playing it now again, I was like, oh, it's definitely like whatever Nintendo did, whatever they did with the Zelda and Link relationship here is, it's in no other Zelda game. There's something about Zelda that's just instantly, you care about both of them. You want them to be together. It's really mental because it's doing the exact same story in a sense, but it's like, it just works. I don't know how or what they're doing differently in it, but it's just great. But I also just want to say that I find it, I find if we get Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
If we get Twilight Princess HD Plus, if you want to call it, this came out in Wii U. But like, I love Twilight Princess, I do. Mm. But like, that's the one where I feel I'd be interested if that came back out and people went back and played it and went, I wonder, actually, I don't know this part. Because, you know, Twilight Princess gets put up there as like one of the better ones again. Skyward Sword gets known as being the shit one. But like, I don't know. It's interesting to see what will happen. But Skyward, it's great.
Well, let's stick with you anyway, Ads. What have you been playing? And I'll just speak a little bit longer while you take the glug of beer there so you can swallow and now reply with what you've been playing.
Yeah, so I've been catching up on games. And as it stands, we have Ace Attorney Chronicles. Is that what the new one is?
That's the out. Great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
Yeah, so I said to myself, I won't play that one. I said, I'll go away and play the trilogy that I bought.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, I know. No, I was like, whatever, right? But I actually never played an Ace Attorney game before.
Oh, okay.
Never did. And I have to say I'm a fan of a visual novel. I really am. Like, when I get around to playing one, I get really invested, and I know that's the point of it, but like, do enjoy them. I've finished the first Ace Attorney. I must go on to the second one now, whatever the camera was called. But anyway, the first one, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, it's 20 years old. It came out in 3DS, or not 3DS, the DS. And I really didn't know what I was kind of going in for. I didn't know what way the mechanics were going to work. And it's pretty, as I said, I don't know what the other ones do, like how much more they advance and stuff. But like the first one, no, it is 20 years old, as I said, it's pretty bare bones. It's pretty bare bones in its mechanics. You just scroll through the text, and when you get to the courtroom, it's like you can just constantly press at the people for every statement that they make in their testimony and stuff, and then you can just lash out some evidence. And the evidence is the only part you really get punished for, because you got your little bar up in the top right. Now, as I said, people could be like, well, yeah, that's what Ace Attorney is. I don't know that, but that's just what I'm going off of, because it's a long game. It's about 20 hours long, which I was like not expecting at all. Had to check how long the trilogy overall was, and it's about 60 hours. And I was like, oh, shit, right, okay. I love it. I think it's great. I think the characters are superb, and the stories are really brilliant. There are times, however, where I do get stumped. So stumped, where I'm just like, I don't know what evidence they want me to throw out here. I don't understand. Is this going to be the right one? You know, because then you'll throw out the right evidence, the right piece of evidence, and you're kind of going, I don't really understand how that all worked out there. Like, I don't get it. But either way, I think it's very funny. It looks really good. Maybe you can answer me this, but it definitely didn't look like this on DS, did it?
I can't remember. Because like, it's the artistic style, isn't it? So they're not like massively taxing the games. I can't remember when I first played them, but it would have been probably on DS. They always looked
good. Did you play all three?
I can't remember. But what originally?
Because I'll be honest, Like, I checked up that franchise and I was like, holy smokes, there are a lot of Ace Attorney games.
That's why I'm sort of sat here going, I played some of them. I couldn't honestly tell you which ones at this point. I played the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, or I started it because, you know, that was recently released, but I can't.
And that's the reason I went back to this, because I need to play that Chronicles one, because that looks just superb. And I just felt like, you know, it's a Capcom franchise that I never touched. And it does get a lot of praise and stuff, but like there's not much more to say, because you can just go on about the stories. And...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I've never played it, I don't know, like, whether this is a fair assumption to make or whatever. Maybe I'm doing a Adam Carroll Death's Door assumption here or something. But how is the, like, do you have to be like a super sleuth? Or is it really obvious? Because if it's really obvious, I'm like, I don't really want to spend 20 hours going...
No, it's not at all.
It's that woman that did it. It's obvious. Like,
No. Like, the twists and turns are very well done.
Well, also, it's like there's... It's not po-faced. It's quite silly. Like, mm-hmm. the cases might be very serious, like a someone being horrifically murdered. But the way you get to the point where that case will end, there might be some really funny shenanigans in amongst it, like
the
characters themselves are kind of just caricatures of them. They're not, you know, they're not like us talking, they're like larger than life caricatures. So it's like it's not a hard game.
No, it's not at all. You just pick the right thing and off you go. You know,
and Ace Attorney Chronicles has a bit more because they introduced a jury and stuff. They're just fun. If you know what I mean, the Switch is such a good place for them.
Oh, 100%. And I think I got it for like a tenner or something, the whole trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
At one stage. So I was like, this is a winner. But just, it just like, it the twists and turns and the stories are really good. And like, there's five stories in this one. Yeah, I think it's five. And they've all been pretty brilliant. Like, one of them in particular was absolutely outstanding. But like, you know, it just made me realize how much I love these types of games. Like, for me, I just do think Danganronpa is the all-time champion of these kind of games. You know, you just that's the one to go for. That collection that's coming out, everyone should just jump on that straight away. It's a phenomenal franchise. 100%. But, you know, I'm looking forward to playing more. I'm really looking forward to playing the Chronicles one and stuff. But I was a bit kind of balls when I looked at how many other games there were. And like, they're all in the DS and stuff.
You're
committing
a lot.
Shit. And I was like, I'll go on there on eBay and see how much I can get them for. Nah, they're all fucking 70, 80 quid and stuff like that. So I was like, no hope. But this trilogy is shaping up to be excellent so far. So just played that. And then, you know, very quickly, I played a bit more Ratchet and Clank. And all I'll say about that, I know we've talked about, I'm not going too far on it, but I've fallen off that game. I just fallen off it. I think it's I think it's cool. I think it's good. I think Ratchet and Clank needs to do something else.
I said, they need to rest it now, I think.
Yeah. Play is great, fun weapons, all that jazz, but Jesus, I don't know what it is. It's weird. It's very strange. But that's all really I've been playing at the moment.
I can throw in, I've got two games I want to talk about really. Like, the first one is Sonic Colors. Sonic Colors Ultimate, we should say. I had never played the original. It's one of the few. It was around that time with Sonic games that it was like, I don't know anymore. You know what I mean? They're like, I will say, first of all, just say that, and I've not been asked to say this, but I feel like it's worth saying, is that the footage you're seeing is captured via Parsec, which is like a digital solution to play a game, stream a game to someone. And that, again, no one's told me to say that. Just in case people think, oh, it looks a bit low fidelity. It looks fine, but and it was fine for me the whole time. But just in case, I just think it's fair to the developer to say so. I will play it. Like, do you know what I mean? I will play this when it comes out, because I didn't before. And then the preview build was enough to me that it's like, oh, this is actually quite a good idea. This is not a Sonic that I've played, and it's I don't really like the 3D Sonics, and like the bit you're seeing right now where he's running into the screen, I still think those bits are not the best. But when you get into the action, and like when it's really fast and crazy, it's like, oh, this is fun. And
but you're right, you just said it there though, Ed. Like, a 3D Sonic game. It's just, it's weird. I don't know what it is.
I don't know why.
It's very weird.
Like, I can't work for the life of me work out why this is happening.
I know people could say, yeah, but Mario. It's like, no.
It's the speed
that Sonic goes in 3D. It's just
that's what it is. Like, it's the speed, and with it being head on, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but for me, it loses something, and that's why I've never really been interested in them. It's always like, oh, it goes into 2D. Oh, now I'm interested.
Yeah,
like, what's going on there? Oh, it's back in 3D. Oh God, let's just. But I want to play it to see what it see because like you, I didn't play the original, but like it. Yeah, I've never seen. Maybe I just need to play it to see, but it always the vibe that when I'm in 3D and like say going forward, I can't see anything. Because I'm looking at Sonic, because that's the only thing I really need to worry about, and then everything else is
you're missing a lot
noise. Yeah, and maybe that's the problem. It feels better to play, and I just need to play it. But
it does feel good to play. Like, and there's some interesting ideas mechanically. It's still kind of got that cool Sonic, like where him and Tails are chatting, and it's like, oh man, I don't need this. And we actually did a video chat, me and Adam, and I messed up the editing of it, and like we lost sound. So we couldn't use it, but so I'm repeating myself to him. But like, I don't know what age there is. There must be some real small age gap where kids are into that,
It's I guess like once you've established that's what it is, you've kind of got to own it, haven't you? Like we've established that Sonic is like the Sonic character is edgy, and therefore. He's always edgy. Like, it's not like Mario just for one game was an absolute arsehole and then they just brought it back to softly. Like, he's always been that nice.
Oh, no, they doubled down on this stuff.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, like, and he's kind of like, I mean, it's all right, but it's like.
It's not all right, though, is it?
It's dog shit and I shouldn't do it.
They shouldn't, man. It's not all right. Like, it's not funny.
I mean, I don't know how bad they're going. Like, that's like.
That stuff is bad. Like, right. the there's jokes that you can see ahead of time and they don't land and they're not funny anyway. And, like, it's weird to me because, especially with this game, which is actually a fun game, I'm surprised that someone didn't just say, maybe we don't need cutscenes in this one. Like,
what are you guys looking for straight up on a Sonic game? The elements?
It's from my childhood, and it needs to stay. For me, it needs to stay there. Like, Sonic Generations was good. Sonic Mania was good, but it was a Sonic game. It was just someone actually finding.
But is that not the kind of pinnacle of what? Like,
that's
Sonic
what I mean.
Kind of
Sonic 2.
Like,
Sonic,
you just want Sonic,
Sonic
games to be all that.
I don't want any Sonic games, mate, if I'm honest with you.
I don't know what I want. It's not what I mean. But like, all I know is the 2D Sonics. Are incredibly enjoyable.
Are they?
Well, okay, for what they are.
Incredibly enjoyable?
Okay. For what they are.
I'll offer you any choice, right? Any Sonic game, any one of them, tell me one that's better than a mainline Mario game.
Sonic 2 would be my favorite.
Sonic 2 would be my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, they're different, right? Aren't they? Let's be honest. They're not the same. Like, they were competing at the time, but Sonic and Mario are completely different, like, platformers. Not just because of speed, but the literal things you're doing, they are different. You know, that's just true.
Yeah.
But, like, people compare them because, obviously, they're gaming mascots.
But that's
that
the trouble. Sega followed Nintendo. Nintendo branched this Mario off into 2D and 3D, and Sega tried to do the same,
and they lost
2D somewhere along the way completely.
And that's, for me, like, you know, when you say, what do you want? I don't know, but I also didn't know what I wanted from a 3D Mario until they gave it to me, and then it was incredible, and it worked. Mm. And I think that's the thing. Like, I don't know what a 3D should be, but I know that, well, from what I see, I don't think I'd like it, but I've not really played a lot of 3D Sonic, so maybe I
should. Sonic Colors is a good game. Like, it's the original is lauded as a good Sonic game. Not like the best, but a good one, and it's fine. What I played of it is fine. I'll have a bash on it, but it's... I don't get it. The Sonic thing now, it's like, I loved Sonic as a kid. Loved him. When the games, Sonic, Sonic 2, mm-hmm. Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles and all that. I even didn't mind when it came out, Sonic Adventure. I mean, I couldn't play it now. Sonic Generations I played and enjoyed.
I think it's the speed thing. It really is. It's just like Sonic needs to constantly go fast. Well, yeah, they can't really not have him go fast. He has to go fast, and that's just it.
You know,
there's not, like, if they release a Sonic game where he's not going fast, then it's just weird and wrong. So, maybe. Like, every Sonic game is like, what do we do? Do we just keep it pretty tame, like Mania, like whatever Mania, what Mania was, or do we just fucking have Sonic just tear across the level that you just physically and just cannot make out what's happening? And that's what's going on.
I think I beat one level and I moved once.
I was just like, I pressed a button and I was like, the level was over. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And that,
I was like,
that's a problem, because it doesn't matter how good the level design is if you don't see it, and it doesn't matter because you're not an active participant enough. I'll change that though to a game where active participant is a good thing. So this game is one I suspect people haven't heard of. It's called Grime. In capitals, okay. Grime. And Adam Carroll, this one needs to be on your radar, because if people describe things as like, oh, it's like a 2D Dark Souls, blah, 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 this is a 2D Sekiro.
Oh.
So it's also
waiting
like
for the footage.
it's incredibly, I mean, it's called Grime. There's no happiness in this game. It's not a cheerful game. So this game is
great. I don't like being happy anywhere.
No, but you know what I mean? It's almost horror-like. It's that kind of, it's, you know, it's that sort of oppressive thing.
Hollow Knight kind of vibe, isn't it?
But darker. So
I haven't played
enough to know the story, but in this game, it is a 2D Souls-like, if you will, but it doesn't punish you. Like, in the bottom right corner of the footage, you'll see a number. That's just, it's not, they're not souls, obviously. You don't lose them if you die. You just go back to the checkpoint, and it's like...
Like Death's Door, Adam.
It made me realise, why is that a mechanic? Why is it a mechanic that you have to be punished so much for death? Death is the punishment. You have to go back a bit. But the hook of this game is that, yes, you're seeing like a weapons thing, and you're also seeing a thing with my head. The head thing is the Sekiro thing. So if you hit right bumper when an enemy attacks... you do the counter thing, you know, the parry, and it fills up a bar. And when you fill that bar up all the way, you can use that bar to replenish your health. So there's this idea of you can ignore the parry system, but you're not going to be able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in trouble.
Oh, that's the only way you heal.
There are items you can get as well. Right,
but like you see there,
like that enemy attacks. It actually becomes part of the story, like the enemy's hand. There's hands and stuff all coming out of the ground and all sorts. And like the hands, it comes out of the ground, and by parrying it, you break it and you break the door that it's attached to. So it is like it's a large mechanic, a really important mechanic. On top of that, even while you know parrying is important to get health, every enemy has a set amount of times that you must parry them, and then you can learn a skill from them. So, like, the grunt enemies at the start, it's teaching you how to play the game. It's like, parry three of these, and you'll learn a skill you can equip. And by doing that, you spend currency, which is, like, again, there's certain, like, elite enemies, if you will. Like, by parrying them, you get, like, a special currency that lets you equip a skill. And there's bosses, and, like, it's a Metroidvania, by the way. That's what this is. It's not a Souls game. It's a Souls-like Metroidvania with, like, the Sekiro parrying in it. You can see I'm not doing it very often in the footage because I don't need to because my bar's full, but I am there. Yeah, like, that flash. I know this is terrible for audio, but, yeah.
So when you said about, like, you can love to learn different skills from parrying, that's quite cool. Could you have, like, different loadouts then if you choose different skills? Like, you could he go, oh, so I like these ones, so I'll go for this. Yes, or use these skills in different situations.
Well, you can kind of cash back on it. You know, you can like if you don't like a skill, you can get your points back and respend them.
Okay.
There's different weapons. I've only found two so far. It's fast-paced. It feels very responsive, which is, again, it's one of those games like Death's Door where you look at it and go, yeah, it looks interesting, but does it feel right? It does.
Yeah.
It's very responsive. I literally saw a review of it on Enemy, 5 stars, and I was like, wow, I've never heard of this game. And then literally that same day, a review code popped up in our inbox, and I was like, well, I'm going to have a look at this. So
what did you play it on?
PC. A mix reviewing it as well. So we're both having a go through this one. I think it is only PC at the moment.
Ah, Jesus.
But it's...
Christ, I have a PlayStation 5 and a Switch. No, come on.
I mean, again, it's not like it's massively visually taxing. It's very crisp, And you can see it's kind of like, it's got that, it's definitely that Metroidvania Ori like, you know.
Yeah.
Like you have to go round to smash a door to get back to the start sort of thing, you know.
It's, Wee.
Oh, yep, yeah, sorry. And it, you know, there's a story there, but I was not expecting it to be like, oh, hang on a minute, this is damn good. And it is, it's like, in the review that I read, it was literally like the person said they sat down to like play the tutorial of it, and then 4 hours were gone, and it's like, oh, I get it. Because I did the same. I was like, I'm just going to have a quick go, so I've got something new to talk about in the podcast, and an hour was gone in the blink of an eye.
I was just thinking I didn't have anything I needed to play in my backlog, and then you just show me that, and now I really want to play it.
Well, the interesting thing as well is, like, you're seeing on the screen now, like, a boss fight, and the boss fight has that same parry mechanic, so, like, you can parry their attacks, but there are also, like, the red ones, which are unparryable, and you have to use your dash to get away from them. It's got that, you know, it's not new or original, but it's cool. Like there's this enemy with loads of hands, and like you can parry them, so it gets rid of them for a little while, and then it'll do special attacks. And you know, you have to. It's difficult. It is a hard game. This one is a hard game, but I think because it doesn't rob you of much that I've seen so far when you die, I don't feel like it's punishing. Like I know it, I get it's hard. This boss that I'm fighting in the video, it took six or seven attempts, but. Do you know the kind of the atmosphere I got a bit was remember that game you played, Blasphemous, Adam?
That I was literally just when I saw that head statue, I was like, that was like kind of like a Blasphemous thing.
But like the satisfaction when you parry, you know, it's just
how fair is it on like checkpoints and stuff? And
so there's like, it's got like this. I don't really quite understand the lore yet because I haven't played enough. But it's got this thing that you're some sort of vessel and you inject yourself into this other thing. And that's where you can do your leveling up like a bonfire. I hate to be that guy. I don't want to, you know, it's like a bonfire. I have not found them to be an issue. Like, there's one right before that boss. It's the second one I've encountered. Then after this, there's a third one. I have not found it to be an issue. You can definitely get gear because you can see in the video I'm wearing, like, this blue armor. That's two different pieces of gear I picked up. It's a very strange game, but it's like, I really dig the art of it. I really dig how it feels, like it's like the unique enemies all the time. It's on Stadia as well, apparently, by the way. I mean, that's not much help to you, ads, but I really recommend it.
Love to play this. I would love
same.
To play it.
It's
kind of look a bit like Mysterio, don't you? Isn't that the
well that head thing is how you kind of absorb other people. It's called breath, the mechanic. Like, you absorb their breath or something. Like, there's a weird intro video where two people are, like, caressing each other and they get a kiss and then the breath is absorbed. And I don't... Obviously, I'm not far enough to understand what any of that is. But, like, I'm really into... I thought I'd bounce off because I'm not usually into that kind of art in games, but it's really it's really crisp. And, Grime is a game I'm going to have to play a bit more of, as is Deathstalk, but... time. But let's get on to some listener correspondence. And if you want to send us anything in the live chat, now's the time to start asking those questions. But from our Discord, Deadbeat Plans Change says, if you had to become a supervillain, to provide food for the family, which superhero would you antagonize and why? In other words, which superhero would you... which superhero would you be if you were a... I've misread the question. If you had to become a supervillain, to provide food for the family, which superhero would you upset, basically? So if you were a supervillain, what superhero would you annoy?
I think it'd be quite entertaining to try and annoy Deadpool, wouldn't it? Try and piss him off.
Is he a superhero?
Yeah.
Why do I have to be a supervillain to get food? Can I not pop down to Tesco, no?
No, you need to rob a bank to have the money to pay for the food.
Right.
Yeah. He's basically saying you get to choose your superhero nemesis.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Jesus.
It's a good question. I'll go with Deadpool until I can think of something else. I just think that'd be funny. Like,
see, I completely misread the question and spent a little while researching. That's why I seemed a bit surprised when I read it back, because I read it as which supervillain would you be? And so that's not the question.
No, you're saying from a supervillain to a superhero, aren't you? That's what it's asking you.
So you pick your superhero.
Yeah, who do you want to be your nemesis? Which superhero?
I'm
going to
say Spider-Man.
Okay.
He would be my nemesis.
He seems like a decent guy, really. And like, he doesn't really, you know, he never kills people, does he? He just hurts them a bit and then puts them in prison.
I did it with Batman.
Yeah, but he really beats the shit out of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't mind a little sort of 90-year-old
bit of spider web on top of you.
Yeah, a couple of beats and being... Bit well, actually, hang on. Yeah. Hang on, no, I don't like spiders, so it's possible.
Oh, there you go.
But Batman really beats the shit out of people.
Yeah, yeah, especially like the Dark Knight. Like, yeah, Superman is quite a good excuse, isn't he? Superman, like he's
Superman.
He fires lasers out of his eyes, doesn't he?
Captain America. Yeah. He wouldn't kill anybody, would he?
Oh, he'd bang that shield off your face.
He'd annoy me. Just annoy me. Like,
well, that's
the way he's set around the place.
You don't want to be like liking the nemesis, do you?
No, but I don't want to be having to hang around some goody two shoes prick that just like.
You don't hang around with him. You try and kill him.
Like Wolverine.
What about Black Widow? There you go.
Your life's work would be spending... Oh, I mean, okay, I know where you picked that. No, your life's work would be spent trying to...
What do you mean?
I don't know. Want to kill spiders. No, but the Captain... Coming back to the Captain America thing, surely if you're the supervillain and you hate Captain America, surely that's perfect. Because you're against him.
What's your superpowers, though? Because Captain America would destroy you. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody that
you might be able to take.
Hawkeye.
Because the powers haven't been laid out.
Yeah.
Mantis.
I think I'll stick with Spider-Man or Black Widow for me.
It's a great question, I have to say. Mr. Dead Pete Punk plans change. Well done. But
Has Adam answered?
No.
Boris Johnson.
He is. No, but he's not.
Is he a superhero? Is he?
He's a supervillain, isn't he?
He's far from a superhero, but he's a supervillain.
Who? Which superhero do you reckon you could take if you had powers? Doesn't matter. Whatever powers you want to imagine. I reckon I could take Spider-Man. I reckon I could take Spider-Man if I had
Baby
powers.
Groot.
Okay. Yeah. Just hoof him into the sea. Yep. I got it. I'm with you.
There we go. Bang.
Okay. No, that's fine. Dane asks, if you could take a video game soundtrack and use it in a different game, what would you choose and why?
I've not read that question. That is brilliant. Oh, I've not got any prepared.
Hang on, no. Take a video game soundtrack and put it into another game.
Skyward Sword, because that soundtrack is unreal and would fit any game. Final Fantasy VII, because it's the greatest soundtrack of all time, and I never tire of listening to it, so if they just wanted to keep putting that music in a game, save themselves some money, I'm happy. It's two for you.
I'll say one just because it'll annoy you again, even though I'm saying the name of the game right. Okami has a fantastic soundtrack.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
Apparently literally, so, Adam.
Literally, you start...
I definitely wasn't wrong for this conversation.
You weren't. This was last week.
And it says, Okami. It literally tells you how to pronounce the game. And just because people want to go Akami for some reason, like, it literally tells you how to pronounce the game at the start. Literally, when you press start, it literally tells you. Like, what's that other game? Like, Resident Evil, it tells you how to pronounce that. It's literally like that at the start of the game when you press start.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. I play the hipster Japanese versions and they say Biohazard, so I go...
Hey!
Oh, yeah, okay.
And my version of Akami says...
But that's got a fantastic soundtrack. It has. Yeah,
it's just that all of that was just you trying to defend your position on something you know to be factually correct, just to say it's got a good soundtrack as well.
It has. The Okami soundtrack is great. I really like it. So if that was put into another game, that'd be amazing.
Streets of Rage 2. That's got
Streets of Rage 4.
Or 4. Yeah, that's a good soundtrack as well.
4.
Yeah.
I was playing 4 again recently. Same. Jesus Christ, the music. Mm.
Someone mentioned in Discord, I can't remember, in our Patreon Discord the other day,
Patreon.com/Mystical Ninja.
What's that? Sorry.
Patreon.com/GodAsAGeek.
Indeed. Be there or be square. Someone mentioned Mystical Ninja there. It reminded me how much I love that Mystical Ninja on the N64. That soundtrack is fucking brilliant. Mm. Love that soundtrack. So someone wants to remake that game with a remade soundtrack, inject it into my veins.
But hang on a second. We're not really answering the question, are we? We're just picking some great soundtracks.
I picked two soundtracks that I would like.
Pick two games of great
Final
soundtracks.
Final Fantasy VII, because I never tire of those songs. Never.
Yeah.
Just give me that all the time.
The thing I like as well about Mystical Ninja, actually, is it does this thing where when you're in like the main like dungeons, if you like, you know, the main sort of dungeons, does this thing where it's actually three separate tracks that build. So when you get to like the middle part of the dungeon, you're in a different area, and like it's like a built soundtrack from the first part, and then there's like a third part which builds on that as well. So it's like a crescendo thing in three parts. So when you get to really deep in the dungeon, you're hearing the full musical soundtrack for that like dungeon. I just really like that. It's really clever. It does it like five different times.
I'll tell you what's got another game's got a cracking soundtrack that could fit in many others. Grime.
That's a really big
orchestral soundtrack. Phil Tindall says, given the latest nerd outrage, have any of you guys caught the new Masters of the Universe series? And if so, how do you feel about the direction Kevin Smith took it?
So I haven't, because I'm watching Castlevania, and Adam, I'm on the last series. So when I finish that series, me and you need to talk. But
I'll talk all night and all day.
Yeah, I have seen that. Obviously, it came out last week, I want to say. And I will be watching it. I'm in that sort of vibe now. Having watched Castlevania, I think that's what I'll do next. Is I'll watch the Masters of the Universe.
What's the outrage? Because I used.
What is the outrage? Yeah. Correct. Because
I don't know. I'm. What is the
that's
outrage?
That's what I'm wondering too. Like, because I'm just looking at going, because I've seen two episodes here, and I'm gonna just say as well that I have never seen Masters of the Universe in any way. Like, I know what it is. I know all about it. I know the story, but I've never actually watched anything to do with that whole thing. But this is the first two episodes I watched, and I liked it. That was good, and I like Kevin Smith. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's
massively into, like, comic-y stuff.
I used to like Kevin Smith a lot, and I'll leave it at that.
Tusk blew my mind, I have to say, when I first saw it. Jesus Christ, I went into that movie blind.
What was the the horror film he did, the first one? Shit, it actually got quite a lot of press at the time. I think he ended up taking it around the country touring with it. Had quite
it's
a
not Tusk, is it?
Did it have Michael Parks in it? Is that an actor?
Gotta check this out.
Yeah, no? I think, because like it was the first like major one he did. The Last of Us 2 style nerd rage. Okay,
is it? Because it's interesting because like I haven't seen it, but I peruse Twitter every now and then for my sins. And
it's a lovely place.
I've seen what I've seen. I don't know any spoilers, so I can't spoil it. Don't spoil it. I haven't watched it, but I thought the reception that I'd seen from people was quite positive. Like it was good. I enjoyed it, kind of thing. A bit like Adam said. So I've not actually seen the outrage.
If you look in the chat, I understand now. So the outrage is that it's He-Man, but he's not in it for 90%. They have made Teela and Evil Lyn the principal characters, and Deb Pinkpunk says it's those pesky strong ladies again. So that's where the last. If that's what it is, Jesus. Like go watch the old one then. Like if that really
Red
bothers
State?
You, Red State. Yes, that was
I get the whole Last of Us 2 reference as well. Yeah,
so, yeah, that's why I was picking up on. Okay. Listen, I'll never tell people what they should or shouldn't do, even though I'm a critic and it's my job sometimes. But like, if it really bothers you that much, don't go on Twitter and rage about it. Don't abuse the creators. Just watch the old ones and be happy that they still exist, because they still do. They still exist.
Because that kind of carry on now is just boring.
It's
boring and dull, and it's just like, fuck off.
I don't know what's more tiring though. Which end of it? They're both ends of that are tiring now. It's like, it's the whole social media thing of like, I must tell everyone everything I think all the time. And I know, I appreciate I'm on a podcast saying this, but like, a friend of mine was like, he tried to get me to even send me a message or like something about like his. I think it was something he'd done, and he was like, oh, can you whatever the retweet version of Instagram is? I mean, I don't have it. And he was really upset. I was like, I'm not interested. I don't. It might have been a hit in 40 thing, but I'm just not. People are outraged about everything all the time, and I feel like if that amount of energy was put into solving the world's problems, we wouldn't have so many. But who knows?
Mm.
On that note, that positive note, Adam, it should be worth noting that people seem to like your yellow top as well. So
yeah. I like my yellow top too. Yeah.
Is it The Shining? Am I reading
it's
that right?
The Shining. Yeah. It's that weird poster with that weird face on the back of it, but Shining, great film. We should talk about it. Let's do a podcast.
Well, we've got plenty of podcasts coming up, man.
We've got a juicy bonus podcast to do at some point, haven't we?
A crisp based one or a juicy
one? No, a juicy one about
juices. Yeah, we should do a food podcast. No, we did that.
Where's Teddy's head?
Sorry?
Where is this?
It's a bag, though, isn't
what
it?
No, it's not.
Isn't it a bag? So that if it's on your back...
There's no straps.
What's that?
If it's a bag, you're
what's
just carrying around
like
this.
Out
like
the top of it,
what's that black thing?
It's just a collar to like tie the neck.
Where are you?
Yeah.
You'll never know.
And on that note,
it's creepy.
CP says you look like the Tour de France winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And on that note, thank you very much once again to remind you, if you do watch us live and you enjoyed this or you've enjoyed anything on this channel, we really appreciate the support. It goes directly to us, and that's patreon.com/godisageek. And I won't say too much here. There are things coming. We've put out a survey recently. We want to get some feedback. There are a number of new shows in development, so that we'll always do the video reviews, we'll always do the podcast. There are a number of new shows coming along that are hopefully going to be something you enjoy. In fact, featuring all three of these people that you're looking at right now and more, there are a lot of things we have in the works, and we really hope that you come along for the journey with us. It really, really, really helps us if you go to patreon.com, mm-hmm. Have a look at it. Not going to say too much just now, but there's stuff. Yeah, I don't want to over-promise and then under-deliver, basically. there's stuff coming, and we've already started filming some of it and doing some bits and pieces. And the thing is, as well, is like, so with recently on the website, there was an article from Sean Smith, freelancer, about like a new arcade that had opened up. And having the money from you guys, if more people do that on the Patreon, the idea would be maybe we could film that and make like a little mini, not I don't want to say documentary, but like a, you know, a little thing. Originally, we planned to interview the people behind it and that sort of stuff. And we'd like to do more stuff like that. But don't also be then going, oh, I think there's plenty of people who do that already. That's not the stuff that's coming up. We've got other stuff coming up that's going to be fun, silly, serious, funny, hopefully. We've got a lot of plans. This is going to be, we're going to kick on very soon. Thank you very much for your time, Chris and Adam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Like I say, just even if you just share this video or say to someone, have you listened to this podcast? I like them. They're decent. Give it a go. And if you just listen live and you're not a Patreon, just go and have a look at it. It might be worth it for you just for the code drops, but just think about it. I know we're bad at self-promotion. We're going to try and get better. I know that might annoy some people, but...
Hey, but look, I just want to quickly say that like everyone here works like full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. Everyone has kids. And what, like, it's just in like a lot of stuff gets done in spare time as well. And all the support is so incredible. It just makes the ball roll way faster for
people. Often
content.
Talk about things
does.
Like,
yeah,
oh wow, I didn't know they had other jobs. Like, imagine what we could do if we didn't, you know,
not to make you feel bad,
but you should,
listeners, you shouldn't, but you know, like. Please, sir, can I have some more? Yeah. It's not that situation, but like we gotta serve more ourselves. More, you said it yourself, Adam, and it's just like we're passionate about it. Some days are better than others, but we just constantly just want to be doing more stuff for all of you lot.
Indeed. And on that note, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.